and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump announcing that Israel and Hamas have agreed to the first phase of a peace deal that will see all the remaining hostages released. Thousands taking to the streets of Chicago overnight.
No Trump, no ICE, no truth!
They are protesting the arrival of the Texas National Guard as a judge hears arguments today over a request from local and state leaders to block the National Guard deployment. Los Angeles officials have arrested a 29-year-old man on suspicion of starting a fire on New Year's Day that later led to the destructive Palisades blaze. Governor Gavin Newsom hoping this arrest brings peace to the people who live there.
There are a lot of theories, a lot of thoughts, a lot of conspiracies as well out there. And so hopefully this lands some clarity in that respect.
As the government shutdown continues, the IRS now says it could furlough more than 30,000 employees due to a lack of funding. A sixth round of voting failed last night for both Democrat and Republican senators. This is ABC News.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. This month, the State Department of Transportation is urging parents and caregivers to set good examples for teen drivers. Civic Media's Isabella Nieto has more.
A teen driver is involved in a crash every 28 minutes in Wisconsin. In 2024, teen drivers were involved in over 18,000 crashes statewide, causing 70 fatalities and over 5,000 injuries. 24 teenage drivers were killed in these crashes. October is Teen Driver Safety Month, encouraging parents and caregivers to teach their teens how to drive safely. In a video released by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, State Trooper Drager urged parents to make sure their teens know the rules of the road before getting behind the wheel.
Your teen watches how you drive, so be sure to set the right example. Be consistent with the message you tell your teen and your own driving behaviors.
The Wisconsin DOT urges parents and caregivers to have conversations with their teens about the importance of safe driving and being clear about the rules. Never drive impaired, buckle up, avoid distractions, and watch the speed limit.
We all have a role in keeping teens safe on the road. Thanks for doing your part.
For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
The Oshkosh Area Humane Society is full with felines and is looking for adopters. As of Monday, the OAHS had 151 cats and kittens in care, of which 51 are up for adoption, 79 are in foster care homes, and 21 are waiting for medical care or space on the floor. In just the last 10 days, the shelter has taken in 44 cats from two local homes. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Cubs beat the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3 in Chicago. The Cubs scoring all of their runs in the first inning. Brewers starter Quinn Priester struggled, giving up three runs and was pulled after just 39 pitches.
Very frustrated. First inning, the only inning, command wasn't good and stuff wasn't coming out the way, you know, I'd wanted it to. And, you know, everyone else played real well with the exception of myself.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on the 25-year-old Priester.
I think the moment got to him a little bit. I think this is, again, he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first postseason appearance and had a long layoff. It's at his hometown. Yeah, I feel for him.
So Milwaukee still leads the best of five series, 2-1. Game four is tonight at Wrigley Field. First pitch, 8:08 p.m. NBA, the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons tonight in a preseason matchup. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear this evening. Could catch a shower late tonight, our low 46. Tomorrow, an isolated shower or thundershower, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it normal for a government official to take $50,000 in cash in a fast food bag? Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, will join us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mattenair on Air.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, where there's one star on their football helmet because that's their average rating on going to the Super Bowl. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
You weren't even going to give me a rim shot for writing that one, were you? Okay.
No. I'm sorry, no.
Producer Parker Olson welcomes us in to get going. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's 6:06. Hopefully another beautiful morning up north. And from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the different platforms that are out there, we appreciate starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Have you lost hope already? Or was yesterday just a blip? Apparently you can't sweep the Cubs after all. We keep forgetting they actually did have a pretty decent season, and we have had our moments, and Quinn Priester had his moment yesterday.
Yeah.
That one was rough.
Yeah, I feel for that kid. That was bad.
I do too. We had such a streak of games where the team did well when he was pitching, but his last two starts, not so much. And I don't know the degree to which people, you know, miss Bob Uecker with the Brewers in the postseason, but I felt there was a little bit of Uecker yesterday out there with Priester having a really tough time hitting the strike zone. I could hear Uecker going, ball four, ball eight, ball 12.
Yeah.
And then giving up a couple of home runs, and he was done after two-thirds of an inning. It was not a lot of pitches either. It was, no. What was it? 39 pitches.
I mean, 39 for an inning, pitches, that's a lot of pitches.
And that's in the top of the first inning, and it just was not working out. And so that made the difference as the Brewers fell to the Cubs 4-3. Now look, the Brewers, they still lead the best of five series, 2-1. And so despite missing out on the sweep, they could still take the series tonight at Wrigley Field. And once again, being down here in Dallas, you can't find that stuff. There's all kinds of other things that people would rather watch on their TVs while I was out and about. But I was able to listen to the local radio broadcast through my phone. And then I didn't.
I was just like, okay, bad, well,
yeah, we're just going to set this aside and do stuff with the family here. Figuring that, you know, again, we'd have tonight, and hopefully I'll actually be home tonight by the time that the game starts, because it's a late game. Tony already had our first comment on YouTube. Cubs suck. It's tough losing to them. Yes. And Roger gets on Facebook to say that rating for the Dallas Cowboys, that's one star too high. Yes, it is. But you got to poke a little fun with them while you can down here in what is still hot Dallas. And I'm telling you, do you remember just a couple of weeks ago how much I was whining that we were
it was starting to cool off
the chilly weather? And yeah. I'm like, hey, summer needs to last a little longer. And,
yeah, well, I could use some really good 80 degrees stuff.
Yeah, well, it turns out I was just a little premature is all, because I have artificially extended my summer and I am ready to be done with it. So
what's the temperature looking like down there?
It's going to be 90 plus again down here. And of course, it's just the way the sun hits everything. It just feels a lot hotter, but it's a dry heat, right? So you only feel like you're in an oven.
And yeah, I was going to say, it sometimes only feels like you're on
a
fire.
Convection oven when the wind blows just right. But anyway, it's been a nice visit. It will get back, and the Brewers will get back too. Roger notes here in the comment section, the Crew started to chip their way back. They had their chances, and it's true. They're, you know, if Jake Bowers, you know, can connect on his last at bat, if Caleb Durbin, you know, actually makes a slide into home, maybe he beats a tag. Yeah. So, you know, it was not all on Quinn Priester. It's just, you know, that was the scene setter, shall we say.
It was. I went into that game. I don't know if many Brewer fans will admit this, but I went into that game expecting us to lose because, frankly, sweeping the Cubs is just too good to be true.
Yeah. I again was not, you know, at all assuming that there was going to be anything like that. You know, these things happen, and you just go for it again tonight. Remember the first couple of games, how Sherry had said
they always come from behind.
Yeah. They always come from behind. And so, you know, when we scored in the top of the first, Sherry's like, oh no, we can't do that. And then sure enough, in the bottom of the first is when Quinn Priester, you know, gave up all that he gave up. And Sherry was like, see, so apparently my wife is much more of a sports predictor than any of the rest of us.
Oh, so she should get into betting.
No, that's not going to happen. Tony tells us that it's 34 in Ashland right now. Roger says it's 36 in Stevens Point. Tony said he had the fireplace going yesterday and loved it. And that is awesome. And in fact, in a little bit, in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to tell you about some of the places you could go to see some fall colors and do some fun things around Wisconsin. Sherita Booker is off this week, but we'll go through the list of things that she would normally be talking about otherwise in terms of places that you could go and things that you could do. I'm looking forward to getting back to seeing if the leaves have already fallen there. How much am I going to be raking versus, you know, at some point you get the lawn tractor out and you go, yeah, we're just going to crunch all these up, you know. And then the lawn looks like you're using Kellogg's cornflakes as a fertilizer. But
what could go wrong with that?
It beats raking. I would much rather mow it and blow it than have to rake all that stuff up.
Raking and shoveling are probably the top two terrible yard work things.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So if I can avoid that, I'm happy. I'm always happiest when and every house is different depending on how things. What's that?
When you don't have to do hard labor.
Well, yeah, there's always that. But when Mother Nature helps out. And again, depending on how everybody's house is laid out, in our case, if we get a south wind at just the right time of year that just blows all the leaves onto the bank, you know, or a west wind will put them all in the tree line over there, and that'll be fun. But then you get other days, it's just like you cannot catch a break from the wind, and it just piles things up in a way where you got to go get it. But that's, you know, that's home ownership, comes with the territory.
There you go.
In some of the other baseball series, the Yankees lose. They're the first team eliminated in the American League Division Series, with Toronto winning last night 5-2. The Detroit Tigers forced a deciding fifth game after beating Seattle 9-3. So Detroit and the Mariners will face off in Seattle Friday night to see who will take on Toronto. In the other National League series, the Phillies, like the Cubs, avoided being eliminated yesterday, beating the Dodgers 8-2. And so tonight, the Dodgers will have the early game, 5 o'clock Central Time, against Philadelphia. And then the Brewers will have the late game, 8 o'clock tonight against the Cubs. Parker's not happy about this.
It's just so stupid. Why is the West Coast team the early game?
Why are
they
getting a day game? Yeah, I know. All season long, we can't catch those games because they start at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And now in the postseason, they decide to have a day game. And so now we have to start at 8 o'clock at night. I know.
I wonder who I should be blaming for that, the league or TV, the networks?
Just TV. Just the networks. Yeah. It's all about the money. But it does mean that you can catch the game here on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, with the pregame starting at 7:30 tonight on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and in Hayward. So again, some baseball action. Just getting the weekend going, because we got the baseball tonight. We've got high school football on several Civic Media stations coming up, of course, on Friday night. Then on Saturday, you've got the Badgers against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Coverage begins, the pregame begins at 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon on some stations across the Civic Media Network. If, heaven forbid, the Cubs win tonight, then the deciding fifth game of the National League Division Series would be back at American Family Field Saturday night, I want to say. So, again, we'll have details tomorrow, but hopefully what we're telling you tomorrow is that the Brewers win tonight, and that'll make a Saturday game unnecessary. And then we get to Sunday, and that, of course, has the Packers back in action after the bye week. They will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage will begin at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon for a 3:25 kickoff for the Packers, getting set to face quarterback Joe Flacco.
Again.
And no, that's not a mistake. You're not listening to a rerun from a month ago. We're not playing Cleveland again. If you missed it, there was a rare trade inside a division where Cleveland made a trade with Cincinnati and sent Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals, because they've got a couple of banged up quarterbacks. And they confirmed that Joe Flacco will start against Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. And recall that the Browns beat the Packers, and the Packers since then have only played Dallas to a tie and then had a bye week. So they're actually seeing Joe Flacco for the second time in three games, but with a different team, something you almost never, ever see in the National Football League.
And still in the state of Ohio.
And still in the state of Ohio, too. Exactly.
He's getting passed around the AFC North like crazy. It's really weird.
I know. So we'll see him at Lambeau Field coming up on Sunday. Again, pregame will begin at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Tony asks, is he bringing Myles Garrett, too? No, then he's not worried. So there you go.
Fair.
Got that figured out. Let's see. So we've got all of your, we got your sports all up to date, right? Did I hit, all the high notes, I believe? Yes, I did.
Yeah,
okay. Tomorrow is Friday. We'll hopefully be back at the Lake Wissota studio at that point, and we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Mike Clemens will tell us more about, you know, the Packer game, and also, you know, whatever happens with the Brewers tonight. We'll have our regular week in review panel, and I'm quite confident I will have airline stories as well.
Oh, God.
Fly yes. Later today. And I've now learned that getting to the Dallas airport is just an experience in and of itself. Oh, and did I mention there's construction there, too? No, I didn't mention it. I didn't really have to. If I mention a big, you know, metropolitan airport and I say construction, you're going to say, well, of course there
duh.
Is.
You
know?
Yeah.
It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, you finish all the construction in all the things, and then you start all over again. Which I also noticed at Twin Cities Airport flying out of there. I mean, that gold concourse, the G concourse, doesn't feel like it was, you know, remodeled that terribly long ago. It's all torn up again for another remodeling job.
Like, well, you know, nothing is ever permanent. But
well, especially at airports, I'm like, who gets the cushy gig of deciding, yes, we're about to spend a lot more money to tear this stuff out that we recently put in. And every one of them is getting more and more mall-like, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you kind of forget you're about, and I think it's to make you forget that you're about to be put on the cattle car there, you know,
yeah.
with the little teeny tiny seats and the bumpy ride. And if you're lucky, a tiny bag of pretzels, you know? So prior to that, if they put all these shops in here and all this ambiance, you know, and all this food and drink, you'll forget what awaits you, at least temporarily.
Yeah. You know, I don't travel a ton. I had flown, I think, well, technically twice in my life, one way there, one way back. I could go without the experience of flying and those people.
Yeah. I mean, I have traveled, you know, in some ways that were very nice, luxurious, but those are rare special occasions.
Yeah.
And again, much like the airports themselves, just seek to remind you that, hey, unless you're paying four digits for your ticket, you're going to be back there in the cattle car. Anyway, more ahead here on this Thursday morning. It's October 9th, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
They're finally getting a physical store. Who? Stick around to find out. It's Amanda with another new Wisco 411. And head to 505 North Main Street on October 10th at 9 a.m. for the ribbon-cutting ceremony for Bleak Boutique. They're finally getting a physical store. And then the next day, they have their grand opening. So if you're into dark, unique, witchy-themed home goods and fashion accessories, including Krampus-themed holiday items, you want to check out Bleak Boutique for their grand opening coming soon. Check it out. Head to WISS.FM and click events.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hey, Sherita Booker is off, but still plenty of weekend events to tell you about, including the celebration of a Wisconsin governor from the late 1800s in Fort Atkinson this weekend, a former governor remembered as one of the pioneers of dairy farming in Wisconsin. Got that coming up in just a sec, but I haven't even gotten around to telling you what's on the program today, and that includes Congressman Mark Pocan, who will be joining us at 7:35 this morning. Naturally, we'll talk about the government shutdown. We'll also talk about how the congressman is fresh off a new round of town halls. You know, those town halls that allow members of the public to sound off about their distraction or their dissatisfaction over Republicans shutting down the federal government instead of passing a new federal budget. What's notable is that the town halls that Mark Pocan has been doing this week weren't held in his congressional district, the second district. Instead, he was touring the third congressional district since Congressman Derek Van Orden can't be bothered to take questions from the general public. So we've got Mark Pocan coming up at 7:35. And then at 8:35, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki. In part, we'll talk about some new talks at the state capitol and how they're being framed as an effort by both Republicans and Democrats to bridge a long disagreement over who should pay for sites contaminated by those PFAS industrial chemicals. The thing is, there's not really much of a disagreement to bridge. The divide is over whether to protect industrial polluters or not. Republicans say that state laws should exempt people like farmers who spread industrial sludge that was later found to have harmful PFAS. And Democrats agree. You can have exemptions for people like farmers. You just can't word those exemptions in such a broad way that they also lump in the industries that created the chemicals in the first place. So we'll talk to Joe about that and other topics like the 2026 race for governor, which no longer includes State Attorney General Josh Call, but might include former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So we'll have that. We'll talk to Chad Holmes along the way, James Kelly from our Chippewa Falls newsroom. Todd Alba will tell us what's coming up on his program a little later this afternoon as well across the Civic Media Radio Network. So all that is on the way. But first, again, let's tell you some of the things that you could be hitting this weekend as you get to traveling around the state. And I just have to bring Parker into this because I need from him to know which one he would go to if he could. So here we go. We've got in Janesville, the Enchanted Forest and Hollywood Hayride. That's happening through Saturday.
Okay.
In Menominee Falls, there is the Old Falls Oktoberfest German Beer Garden at the Old Falls Village Park. In Two Rivers, there's the 41st Annual Apple Fest. That will be Saturday in Central Park. In Waupaca, they're having the 715 Harvest Fest on Saturday to benefit the Waupaca County Dive and Rescue Team. Saukville has Autumn Farm Days at Pioneer Village on Saturday. Neillsville has their Autumn Harvest Celebration on Saturday at Town Square. In Fondulac, they've got the Fondy Falltoberfest and the Wisconsin Great Pumpkin Way Off. That's Saturday at Lakeside Park. Let's see there. And then up in Cable, there's the Mount Telemark Enduro. So that's where you take your mountain bikes, your trail bikes.
Sure.
And they're basically starting at the top of Mount Telemark, and then you're speeding downhill down this mountain on these dirt paths on your bike, which, I mean, seems like a perfectly good way to take however many hundreds or thousands of dollars you've spent on your bike and, you know, crash it into a tree or just tear it all up on the trails. And
that seems like a good watch.
It seems like a very good watch. Although I will admit that, again, if you could go back in time and maybe do some things a little bit differently, that's one of those activities I think I might have actually taken up.
Because
I never did take up, like, you know, mountain biking or motorbikes, yeah, you know, or anything like that. Kind of wish I had back in the day now. So yeah, that one actually looks fun. I mean, right up until the moment, like I said, that you hit the tree.
Yeah.
But if you can avoid that, it's all real good. There are all kinds of pumpkin fests and events at wineries and marathons. And you can see all this at travelwisconsin.com. Did any one of those stick out for you as where you would go if you had the wherewithal?
I kind of tuned out after the beer garden thing.
We got you there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That got me pretty good.
That's just fine. And then there's one more that I wanted to mention, and that is in Fort Atkinson. And this weekend, they mark Governor Horde Day. Widely considered the father of the Wisconsin dairy industry, William Dempster Horde played a prominent role in the development of the School of Agriculture at the University of Wisconsin. And he began the first national dairy magazine in the country. And people are still reading Horde's Dairyman to this day. And I did not know until putting this segment together that the Horde and Horde's Dairyman was William Dempster Horde, former governor of the state of Wisconsin. Horde's advocacy of high standards for the dairy industry, his promotion of scientific dairying and farmer education were vital to the growth and development of dairying in Wisconsin. Using his weekly newspaper in Fort Atkinson, Horde persuaded farmers who were losing money due to poor soil and crop yields to switch from crops to dairy. But then there was controversy. Horde's time as governor was marked by controversy over the Bennett Law, which required public schools and all private schools to teach in English. And that angered a lot of the German immigrants who had a large parochial school system that was taught in German. So back then, governor's terms were 2 years long instead of 4 years long. And after 2 years, he lost his bid for re-election in 1891. He then became an ally of Robert La Follette Sr. and was involved in creating the progressive faction of the state Republican Party. So in Fort Atkinson this weekend, there will be an annual event to mark Governor Horde's birthday as well as mark his Civil War service. So there you go. You get a little bit of Wisconsin history in there along with some ideas of things that you could be doing for this weekend. All right, we will be back in just a bit for today's history lesson. Stick around for that. It includes Beethoven hitting number one on the pop charts as a disco tune. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Farmers might not want to count on all the money being discussed in federal aid to offset soybean export losses. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Chuck Grassley, senator from Iowa, says when you start adding up the numbers of what's available and the numbers of what's being discussed, the two don't necessarily meet.
All we hear is from the administration on $10 to $14 billion, so the final figure hasn't even been agreed upon. And then there's only $4 billion in the CCC. And they said there'd have to be two tranches of it, some of it coming from money available right now, and then the fund would have to be supplemented by the Congress of the United States.
So no solid answers on the potential for federal aid specifically targeting soybean growers that have been knocked out of the Chinese market. That word from the very senior Iowa Senator, Chuck Grassley, who at 92 years of age is the oldest sitting U.S. senator in our history. Markets are next.
How does a soybean become a Dairyland seed difference maker? It starts in the labs of Corteva Agriscience, where Enlist E3 technology is designed to fight the toughest weeds for the greatest yield potential. Then it's hand-selected by Dairyland seed agronomists to be the ideal fit for Midwestern soils and conditions. Finally, it's tested on acres by farmers like you to ensure it's proven to outperform. It's a long road, but the only way to make a difference. Find your soybean difference maker at DairylandSeedSoybeans.com.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empowered Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
On Wednesday, the barrel cheese remained unchanged. 40-pound block cheese was up a quarter of a cent, 173 and three quarters, while AA butter dropped a penny and three quarters down to $1.65 a pound. November class three milk that goes into cheese is up four, $16.97. Right now, December new crop corn's unchanged, $4.22. November new crop beans down 2.5 at $10.27. July wheat also unchanged at $5.51 a bushel. So, just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand, rolling into a Thursday trade session. Hey, sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing during the busy harvest season. You can do that at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, think about downloading our brand new app available on either Play Store. Midwest Farm Report, again, what you look for. I'm Pam Yonke.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear this evening. Could catch a shower late tonight, our low 46. Tomorrow, an isolated shower or thundershower, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 64. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll, I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show to make the popcorn pick of the week. Then joining me in studio is children's illustrator Rob Momartz. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
This is karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the head.
We should be celebrating John Lennon's 85th birthday today. The former Beatle, born this day in 1940, and of course lost way too soon, way back in 1980. Again, John Lennon's birthday today. On his 35th birthday, back in 1975, was born his brother Sean. Sean Lennon is 50 years old today, half-brother to Julian Lennon. And on this day in 1965, so that would have been John Lennon's 25th birthday, the Beatles had a number one hit with Yesterday. So a lot of John Lennon connections to this October 9th, starting with his birth on this day in 1940. Also in today's history lesson, this is the anniversary of the birth of Charles Walgreen, an American pharmacist and businessman. I think we all know what business he started.
The Walgreen?
CVS is actually what he founded.
Ah.
No. It actually was Walgreen.
Oh, okay.
Again, he was born this day in 1873. Charles Walgreen passed away in 1939 after giving us a place where we could get our medications, get our photos developed, get all kinds of makeup and hair and personal products you didn't even know you needed. And of course, my favorite part of Walgreens now is the As Seen on TV shelf.
Oh boy.
You ever see that? All the things that you see on the infomercials, and they're right there. And I always stand there and I look at it and I go, maybe I really do need one of those little doohickeys.
Really? I didn't think that'd be your thoughts.
I think about it, and then I never do. I never
okay,
do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's more like it.
On this day in 1936, Hoover Dam began to generate electricity and transmit it to Los Angeles. So you said you haven't done much traveling, so I'm going to assume Hoover Dam is not on that list of places you've been?
No, I have only been to D.C., basically.
Okay, gotcha. We saw Hoover Dam in 2000. It was either 2000 or early 2001. So it was before the 9/11 attacks, because after that, they stopped giving the tours inside the dam.
Oh.
So I guess theoretically, I'm one of the last people, you know, to have actually gotten the tour inside of Hoover Dam, the hard hat tour.
Yeah.
Huh. Still have the hard hat to prove it. And I mean, it is as mammoth and impressive as you would expect. It's one of those things you still look at, and you do that about, again, the Golden Gate Bridge or a tall building or whatever, but you look at the and go, how did somebody design that and build that and have it still, you know, doing what it's doing today so well?
It seems like one of those things that you just kind of can't wrap your head around pure scale of it. Yeah.
Yes. But here's the thing, even though I can't wrap my head around it, I don't deny that it exists, which has always been my frustration with like anything else about science, where people go, oh, well, that's just your opinion that these vaccines work. No, it's actually people who are smarter than me who look into this stuff, you know. So just think of some of that stuff that you can't see, like Hoover Dam, that you can see, and trust the people that stayed in school a couple of weeks longer than you and me. That's all I'm asking. Another musical happy birthday today to Jackson Browne, who is 77 years old today. Jackson Browne, that's his real name. Well, his middle and last name, his birth name is Clyde.
Clyde?
Clyde Browne. Clyde Jackson Browne. And he decided that maybe going with Jackson Browne would be a better way to go.
That's not a bad. Yeah.
Oh no, for an alternate point of view, Tony puts on Facebook, do your own research, Pat. Hoover Dam is a lie.
God.
Anyway,
it's all a hoax.
Jackson Browne was born this day in 1948 in Heidelberg, Germany, where his American serviceman father was stationed at the time. And it reminds me to mention, I hadn't mentioned this yet this week, when I was flying out to Nashville last week before coming to Dallas, I finally downloaded on my phone and started watching the Billy Joel documentary.
Oh,
and it is every bit as good as advertised. I mean, I'm only maybe halfway through the first part. It's a two-part thing.
Sure.
And so I still got a ways to go, but Jackson Browne features prominently in there as one of the, you know, all those young songwriters, you know, back then that were a bit of a fraternity and talking about Billy Joel's early life. And I still can't believe it. It's taken me all these months to finally get around to watching it, but it's going to be a great show watching on the flight home later today too.
What's the, I can't think of what it's called. There's a Beatles. It's not a documentary really. I think it's like they just had cameras running while they were writing songs. I can't think of which ones.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that came out, what, a year or so ago?
Probably. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I have started watching that one and I haven't finished it. So it's on my very long to-do list of things I got to get around to watching.
Yeah.
If you ever hear of the day that I hasten my retirement, it's because my list finally got to a point where I said, that's
running
it.
Out of time.
I got to just do that full time from this point on. Yeah.
There's not enough hours left in the day to watch all of these things.
Yes. A rockumentary, Tony asks on YouTube. No, I wouldn't call it a rockumentary.
Actually, I really like that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm kind of on board for that one, Pat.
Okay, good deal. Let's see. On this day in 1961, Ray Charles had the number one song in the country.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more.
Wait, you're telling me that Joe Biden didn't come up with Hit the Road, Jack?
No. Let's see, John Entwistle, bass player for The Who, born this day in 1944, passed away in 2002. Actor Tony Shalhoub with his Madison roots. He is 72 years old today. The popular children's show Thomas the Tank Engine premiered in the UK on this day in 1984. Look, you get that smile like you grew up watching a lot of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Thomas the Train.
Aw, that's so sweet. The Fox Broadcasting Company launched as the fourth U.S. television network this day in 1986. Nobody thought it was going to last. You know, everybody was set in their ways. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS. And that's all there ever was, and that's all that there ever would be. And then Fox showed up with, you know, some unusual shows you would normally see on network TV, like The Simpsons, things that were a little more edgy. Some would even say a little more raunchy. They got good ratings. Then they landed the National Football League games for the NFC.
Yeah.
And truly became a fourth network after that. It enabled them to spin off things like Fox News Channel, Fox Business Channel, and all the other things that have made TV just the wonderfully informative, educational, and good for democracy brand that we've come to expect from Fox.
It's a diverse TV guide.
Yes, put it that way. All right, on this day in 1976, the number one song was by Beethoven. Well, not specifically Beethoven, but Walter Murphy's take on Beethoven's Fifth. So the question becomes, if you could play this for Beethoven, is it the rolling in his grave thing? Like, what have they done to my song? Or would he be like, oh, yeah, I totally see why you did it that way in this day and age, meaning 1976.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Musicians,
composers
can be a little picky.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't like when you take their work and twist it in certain ways. But like I said, maybe others have a different view on it. Anyway, it was done by Walter Murphy and his Big Apple Band. And if Walter Murphy's name sounds familiar, he still does some TV and film composing work. For example, you see his name on the musical credits for Family Guy every week as well. Kurt Newman, the singer-songwriter and guitarist for the Bodines, is 64 years old today, born in Milwaukee. And then Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. So if you were big into Thomas the Tank Engine, Blue's Clues had to be something on the TV too.
No, I'm not sure I saw any Blue's Clues actually, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Steve was one of them there. So there you go. Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. Let's see, from the standpoint of the National Day calendar, what did you find on there for us?
Incredibly light day again on the National Day calendar. But you know what? I think we've got one of the best international days of all time. It's International Beer and Pizza Day.
International Beer and Pizza Day.
Yep.
Was this thought up at a bowling alley?
I mean, certainly.
Because those three things go together perfectly. But yeah, beer and pizza day.
Yeah.
I like it. That works. It even when we bought our current house 30 years ago, and you know, we were in debt up to here, and you know, we had lawn furniture in there for like the first year because we couldn't afford furniture, but at least we had the house. And when we signed the closing papers at the bank, we had just enough cash on hand to stop at the corner gas station and get, they had slices of pizza and a six pack of beer.
There you go.
So we sat on our back deck of our newly purchased home with beer and pizza and said, well, let's see where this goes from here. And it turned out all right. Little did I realize that it would be marked by International Beer and Pizza Day 30 years later.
There you go.
Not that I'm taking all the work for it. What else do we have on the calendar today?
Yeah, World Sight Day. Pat, as two people with glasses, I think we can appreciate this day.
Oh, so S-I-G-H-T, not
yes,
S-I-T-E.
Yes, that day. Yes.
Okay. I do believe sight is important there. Yes, so let's make mention of that. By the way, in a follow-up, we've talked about the various cuts to programs, educational programs, and things like that, including cuts to a program to help with the education of deaf-blind children in Wisconsin. And I just wanted to do a quick follow-up that 1 year's worth of funding has been restored. It's being sent to this particular program, you know, through like a third party, but at least the program won't be ending, at least right away. Something worth noting on this World Sight Day. Anything else on the calendar?
National Curious Events Day.
Tell me more.
Curious Events, I believe it was defined as like a Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, yeah.
Have you had any curious events that are worth noting?
Well, I've seen some interesting things. I don't know if I'd call them curious events.
Okay. All right. And
have
what
you
do
seen
we have
Bigfoot?
From an entertainment news standpoint, or what other little non-hard news stories are you following?
LeBron James, I don't know if you saw this. He had the second decision.
The second decision. Like taking his talents to South Beach, that kind of decision?
Well, he teased it one day, and it kind of, people were going, oh, he might be retiring. Everyone else was like, oh, it's going to be an ad. And sure enough, it was an ad for Hennessy.
Okay.
A fan, though, thought that he was going to be retiring and bought two tickets to what would have been his last game. And now he's suing LeBron for the price of those tickets.
So LeBron teases, oh, I've made this decision.
Yes.
Which he didn't tell people was like a tease for a commercial. He just said, I've made this decision. A fan thinks he's going to retire, buys tickets to the game, what would have been the last game of the season. Yeah. He, of course, doesn't retire. But because this guy got fooled, he's now suing LeBron for the tickets.
For $865.66.
I hope the judge not only rules in favor of LeBron James, but tells this guy he's got to pay court costs of $865.10, because that's just
a little silly.
I know. All right. Still ahead this morning, of course, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Bocan. That's coming up at 7:35, where we will talk about the Trump shutdown here and whether Republicans are showing any signs of restoring some of the health care cuts that they've made earlier this year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on a Maine ballot initiative pushing restrictions on voter ID and mail-in voting. Then mysteriously, on September 30th, 250 unmarked absentee ballots from Ellsworth, Maine showed up in an Amazon package 40 miles away. The plot thickens. Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows announced that both Maine authorities and the FBI were investigating. Ellsworth's town clerk received two boxes of mail ballots September 30th and notified the Secretary of State's Election Division that one box was missing 250 unmarked mail-in ballots and that the box's security tape had been altered. 40 miles away, a Newburgh, Maine resident reported receiving an Amazon package which included her order and the missing 250 ballots. The resident brought the ballots to the Newburgh town clerk, who notified the Elections Division at 8 a.m. October 1st. But that day, pictures of the resident's beat-up and retaped Amazon box surfaced on social media, with messages decrying Maine's election integrity. The conservative Maine Wire news blog quoted the resident as saying, "I am greatly concerned for our state and its voting requirements." GOP legislators seized on the missing ballots as proof that question one should be passed. Secretary of State Bellows remarked, "To any bad actor involved, you will be caught and you will be punished." We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There's an old joke from the old original Saturday Night Live with Chevy Chase anchoring Weekend Update. And often started it by saying, "This just in, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead." In much that same vein, we are happy to report the news today that Dolly Parton is not dead. And by her own admission, she has given us proof of life, despite some people getting a scare the other day. Near as I can tell there, right, Parker?
Oh, yeah, we got her. And here she is telling us she ain't dead yet.
Well, today's October the 8th, and obviously I'm here doing some commercials for the Grand Ole Opry, which is why I'm dressed kind of like a country western girl. But before I got started, I wanted to say, I know lately everybody thinks that I am sicker than I am. Do I look sick to you? I'm working hard here. Anyway, I wanted to put everybody's mind at ease, those of you that seem to be real concerned, which I appreciate. And I appreciate your prayers, because I'm a person of faith. I can always use the prayers for anything and everything. But I want you to know that I'm okay. I've got some problems, as I mentioned, back when my husband Carl was very sick. That was for a long time. And then when he passed, I didn't take care of myself. So I let a lot of things go that I should have been taking care of. So anyway, when I got around to it, the doctor said, "We need to take care of this, we need to take care of that." Nothing major, but I did have to cancel some things so I could be closer to home, closer to Vanderbilt, you know, where I'm kind of having a few treatments here and there. But I wanted you to know that I'm not dying.
There you go. She's not dying.
I ain't dead yet, she said. They're at Vanderbilt. We were in Nashville last week, and our hotel was right there next door to the Vanderbilt campus.
Oh, right.
Did not realize I could have seen Dolly while she was getting treated for whatever it is she was getting treated for. But yeah. Late last month, she postponed her first Las Vegas residency in 32 years, citing health challenges. She pushed those shows to September of next year when she'll be 80 years old. And here's the thing. So she explains that, you know, she had some health stuff. She didn't take good care of herself after her husband passed away and all of that. And that's all fine and good. What she's not saying, the story involved here, is that sometimes the people who love you most can cause the most trouble. This really all got going because on Tuesday, her sister Frieda Parton put up a Facebook post that escalated concerns about Dolly's health. She wrote that she had, quote, been up all night praying for my sister Dolly. And, well, I mean, if you see the sister of a celebrity saying, I've been up all night praying for her health.
Yeah.
You're going to think something.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, it turns out, no. She sent a follow-up post, the sister did, saying, I want to clear something up. I didn't mean to scare anyone or make it sound so serious when asking for prayers for Dolly. She's been a little under the weather, and I simply asked for prayers because I believe so strongly in the power of prayer. And while Dolly Parton is a very sweet person, I can imagine her getting on the phone with her sister and in a not so sweet voice saying, help me less here.
Do you know how many people have been asking me if I'm dead? Yeah. All because of you.
But she did end the video with a joke saying, did you see that AI picture of Reba McEntire and me? Oh, Lordy. I mean, they had Reba at my deathbed, and we both looked like we needed to be buried. So I'm glad that she's got her sense of humor about all this.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And Dolly is in better health now. So that is a very good thing. Rob telling us from Tigerton, I truly believe in the power of prayer. He said yesterday was a perfect day for being outside. Let's see. What's the temperature like in Tigerton? He says, oh, good morning. It's clear and 31 degrees. We had 30 degrees at 5 a.m. As the low. I had to turn on the furnace for the first time this season. He said, I had 3 lawns to mow in the Wittenberg area for the last time in 2025. Yeah, that sounds about right. Says that he had taco soup at Rachel's Roadside near Wittenberg. It is very much a must stop when you're heading east going on Green Bay off of Highway 29 and exit 198. And again, he said yesterday was just a perfect day to be outside. And I love those parts of these fall days.
Yeah, you do get some really nice weather where you can kind of just do whatever you want. Just a little crisp in the air. It's very nice.
Yeah, looking forward to that very much. And I don't have the Green Bay forecast in front of me for Sunday, but hopefully this all holds and we've got some perfect weather to watch the Packers take on the Cincinnati Bengals. And again, if you missed it earlier, you might be out of the habit because the Packers had that bye week, and then they had that long space between a Thursday game and a game the, you know, like 12 days later on the Sunday. So you might need to be reminded that you can actually catch the Packers on several Civic Media stations, including in Richland Center and Park Falls and Racine and Wautoma, our newest Packers affiliate, WAUH. And again, it's a 3:25 kickoff, and so coverage of the pregame on Sunday will begin at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And I'm trying to figure out why Rob is also putting up Kevin Harlan's name up here on the thing. Maybe we mentioned something about the play-by-play. I don't know.
He'll be there too, though.
We did mention the anniversary of the Fox TV network, and Roger from Stevens Point puts up, did you know that the Fox network has been affiliated with 3 different channels in its first 10 years in the Green Bay area? First, it was on channel 32, then 26, and then it moved to 11, where it's been Fox 11 now for the past 30 years. Yeah, that came with the football contract. When Fox got football, a whole lot of TV stations switched their affiliation, and that caused a big shuffle in the Green Bay area. Between channels 11 and 26, and I think 2 and 5 are also caught up in there. And that happened in a lot of markets where people did not know where they were going to find, you know, this network or that network. Things have kind of settled down since then. Well, for those of you who still watch any network TV.
Now you just Google it.
Yeah. Well, and hope that they're right, because the internet's never wrong about these things.
Certainly.
Right. All right. Congressman Mark Bocan will join us in the next hour of these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Jubilation in both Israel and Gaza. That's the sound in Khan Yunis in Gaza as Israel and Hamas agree to a pause in their two-year war. Hamas agreeing to release the remaining hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli detention. That is phase one of the peace proposal put forth by President Trump. Los Angeles officials announcing the arrest of a man in connection with starting the Palisades fire. California Governor Gavin Newsom.
This suspect is ultimately held accountable. That at least, I think, calms the fear and anxiety that some people felt around what and who was responsible and how this actually occurred.
President Trump's deployment of troops to Illinois at the center of a court hearing today over Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's request to block them from coming. Federal government shutdown grinding into day nine. No public negotiations underway. This is ABC News.
You're listening